And if you grab Bibles, 1 Chronicles, please. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles 29. If you'll stand with me, if you found 1 Chronicles 29 in honor of God's word, and we'll begin reading in verse 10. This is picking up where David is rejoicing over all that was given in preparation for building the temple. Of course, David is not the one who God used to build the temple, but he is the one who God used to prepare what was needed for the temple. And after this passage of scripture is when David would encourage his son Solomon to continue following through and being faithful and building the temple. And Solomon, of course, did. And we are in the beginning of our theme for the year, Honor God. And we preach the message on that Sunday morning. Every Sunday morning service for the month of January is going to be on that idea of honor God. This is going to be the only Wednesday night message on that thought of honoring God. But it's important, isn't it, to honor God. That ought to be our desire. And if that is our desire, that's going to make a difference in our lives. If you desire to honor God as a mom, as a dad, as a husband, as a wife, as a young person, whatever it is, whatever area, if you desire to honor God, that'll change your life. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 2:30, them that honor me, I will honor. And God is looking for that. And God deserves it, doesn't he? He deserves it. And if we could spend every day honoring God, we still haven't even come close to giving him the honor he deserves. And that's what we'll be doing when we're in heaven anyways, right? And it's going to be for all eternity. Looking forward to that day. But tonight, thank you for being here. And I know you're tired. It's been a rough week, extra work. How many of you, your back's sore, your legs are sore, your arms are sore from shoveling? Okay, yeah. How many didn't shovel a thing? Okay, all right. Jealous. So thank you for being here tonight. Just looking forward to what God has for us. But again, being here is half the battle. The other half is receiving what God has for you. So let's look at verse 10 of 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Bible says, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. Thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might. And in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow. And that's a good reminder right there, by the way. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord, our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee and house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. It came from you anyways, God. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart have I willingly offered all these things. And now I have seen with joy thy people, which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee, and give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. And David said to all the congregation, now bless the Lord your God. And all the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers, and bowed down their heads and worshiped the Lord and the king, and they sacrificed sacrifices unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings unto the Lord on the morrow after that day. even 1,000 bullocks and 1,000 rams, 1,000 lambs with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel, and did eat and drink before the Lord in that day with great gladness. And they made Solomon the son of David king the second time, and anointed him and the Lord to be the chief governor, and Zadok to be priest. What a prayer. What a prayer. Poured his heart out to God. Said that David was a man after God's own heart. And you can see it and sense that in how he talked to the Lord. And that ought to be an example to us in how we talk to God. But title of the message tonight is Honoring the Father. Honoring the Father. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, Lord, we need you tonight. And I'm thankful for who's here tonight. Lord, I'm thankful for the opportunity anytime to be in your word, regardless of the size of the crowd. Lord, it's not what it's about. It's about sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing from you. And even in this crowd, Lord, there are needs. You know them. Only you can meet them. So I pray, Lord, we open our hearts and our minds to what you have for us. We need you. We need to hear from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. So a tree fell. It's a tree. It's been dead for a while. I've been wanting to take it down, and because of the power line around it, I wasn't exactly sure how to do it. Wasn't ready to go rent another lift. We already used one of them. And that was costly enough, and I didn't really want to use another one. Called Evergy a few times because it was near power line, and to no avail, they didn't come out. So God took care of it the other day, knocked it down. And it did hit the power line. Thankfully, that power line only powered a light pole. And the other lines coming that were connected to that pole weren't actually connected to anything. It was just like a transition. And so the only line it hit was that line to the light pole. So nobody lost power. And I went out there with my neighbor. He called Evergy. They said, we're backed up. And there's trees down everywhere. So I went out there with him, chainsaw, and cut the thing up and loaded the logs up in my truck. I brought it over here. And so I started splitting the wood just to get it nice and just organized. And Josiah was out there. And I do feel like I can swing an splitting them all pretty good, you know, because I like to brag on myself. Every man does. But this wood was dead. Okay, so it was already dry. So it was just a one swing, and it splits. But, you know, to a six-year-old, that's pretty impressive. And so he goes, Dad, you're strong. You're really strong. I'm like, I know, I am. Children do love to brag about their fathers. And they say things like, my dad's the strongest, my dad's the smartest. My dad is, you know, the best in the whole world. I remember when I was a kid, I used to pray. I don't know what I was thinking. I used to pray that I would look like my dad. Well, my dad was tall, and my dad was bald, and the Lord answered that prayer. And I don't know why I prayed that, to be honest with you, but it happened. Probably had a crooked nose, too, but kids do love to brag on their dad. When we think about God, we think about how he's our Heavenly Father. Think about those words. Heavenly Father. As Jesus said when he taught the disciples how to pray, our Father, which art in heaven. I don't know that there's anything else you can say than this, hallowed be thy name. And the truth is that words cannot begin to describe the magnitude of God. The God that you serve, the God who sent his son Jesus down the cross for your sins, the best you can do fall short. Words cannot even come close to describing the magnitude of his greatness, his holiness, how good he is to you. When you look back at your life, you look back all the way to, well, before you were saved, but let's at least start with when you were saved. And God's grace at salvation, God's goodness through the trials and difficulties of life, and the hardships and the challenges, the moves, the sicknesses, the loss of loved ones, the unexpected things that have come up. No, seriously, I'm asking you now to think of those times and think about how good God has been in all of those situations. And words cannot even begin to describe how good he is. But tonight I do want to talk about our Father in heaven. In fact, it's exactly what David was doing in his prayer to God when he said those words in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10. Look at that, if you would, one more time. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. David said, "Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever." He wanted the people to realize I don't know that he was praying necessarily. Let me rephrase that. I don't know that he's praying necessarily so that the people can think a certain way, but he was expressing his heart to God in the ears of all of the people. And he was acknowledging the fact that he's not just God. He's not just residing in heaven. He's not just all of the other attributes, although every single attribute of God is an amazing thing in and of itself. But David was pinpointing the fact that our God who is holy, our God who is righteous, our God who is just, our God who is perfect, our God who is sinless, who has all power, is our Heavenly Father. Now that's an amen right there. He orchestrates the sun, moon, and stars. He knows all things, and he is your Heavenly Father. And the idea that God is viewed as our Father is one that is not loudly proclaimed in the Old Testament. Oh, it's mentioned. Oh, it's there. And you really don't have to look hard to find it, but it seems to be somewhat overshadowed by other things because God is revealed as Creator when he told us his name is Elohim. He's revealed as the God of covenant when he revealed himself as Jehovah, the Lord. I love the name Adonai. He's revealed as Almighty when he called his name El. He's revealed as the gracious giver, as El Shaddai. He's revealed as the Lord who provides when he told us his name is Jehovah Jireh. Our banner as Jehovah Nissi, the Lord and peace, when he revealed himself as Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of hosts through his name Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord our righteousness as Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord who is always there as Jehovah Shammah. But when Jesus came, he began to often speak of his Father. He spoke of him personally. He spoke of him intimately. And in fact, his first recorded words, and we preached on that last week, last Sunday, when we talked about the first words of Jesus. And his first recorded words as a 12-year-old was to his parents when he said, "Wist ye not that it must be about my Father's business?" So from the very beginning, he connected himself to the Heavenly Father. In John 14:8, Philip said unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." And today, it's amazing. Remember, on Wednesday nights, after this message, next Wednesday night, we'll be in Psalm 6. Praise the Lord, we're back in Psalms. And yet, in Psalm 1, we talked about blessed is the man. And it's amazing how the Psalms talk about blessings. And then in Psalm 103, it tells us to bless the Lord. And it baffles my mind how I, a wicked sinner who is deserving of a devil's hell, can bless or be a blessing to God Almighty. But we can. And God has made that possible. And there are ways in which we can bless Him. And one of those ways is this, too. We can honor God by speaking of Him. Amen? We ought to speak of Him, about Him, speak for Him. In other words, tell people about Jesus Christ. Be a witness. Be a witness. Witness to somebody. Let them know that there's a God who loves them, who sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for their sins. If they, by faith, will call upon Him, be the personal Lord and Savior, they can be saved. But God is honored by that, for sure. But there's also another way to honor Him, and that's by speaking to Him. And you can speak to Him with intimacy. You can speak to Him, not with fearful distance. Go to Romans 8, please, in your Bibles. Romans chapter 8. I don't know if this is necessarily a preachy-type message tonight, but I think it'll be a help, an encouragement. It might be a little convicting as well. I don't necessarily put messages together and say, how can I convict the people today? That's not what I do. I pray about it and ask God to lead, guide, and direct. It's what God laid on my heart. And Romans 8:15, the Bible says this, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. Read these words with me, ready to begin. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba. It's a word that, when you dig into it, you find out it kind of means daddy. It does. It's a little more personal, a little more intimate. I think the word father is respectful. The word daddy is endearing. And it's somewhat what it means. And we can cry, Abba, Father. And King David couldn't contain himself as it pertained to his father. Back in our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 29, he couldn't help himself. And he cried unto his father in heaven. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, the Bible says, and will be a father unto you. I love this verse. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. God is speaking to you. Make this personal to you. And so number one tonight, maybe just something to help you out in honoring the Father is number one, your Father is Almighty. And that's a blessing to know because you're going to face some things in your life. You are, you have, and you will face some things in your life that you're going to need a powerful, almighty God in order to handle those situations. And what kind of an almighty Father do we have? How has He displayed Himself to show His power? Genesis 1:16b says this, He made the stars also. I mean, after all creation. Oh, and you know what? He made the stars also. It's kind of, yeah, I can do that. He demonstrated His power when He used a single stone and trusted a teenager to defeat Goliath. He showed His power when an old prophet prayed a short prayer of 63 words, and fire came down from heaven and completely consumed a sacrifice that it rested on, that was already soaked with water, and proving to Israel that there is a God in heaven, and His name is not Baal. His name is not Baal. You have an almighty heavenly Father. What situation is it that you're going through right now that you need to be reminded of the power of your God? What is it that you're facing right now that the power of God can help you in? If you'll rest in that and you'll look to God in those situations, He's the source of all power. He's the beginning and end of all power. He cannot tire. Amen. I'm wore out, shoveled a lot of snow and ice the last couple of days, and I'm out of shape, and I'm wore out. I'm tired. I'm tired tonight. I don't mean that in a complaining sense. I'm tired. I'm wore out. Our God does not tire. When He uses or bestows power, He loses none. He never needs to be refreshed. He never needs to be renewed. He never needs a vacation. He never tires of his needy children. He never wearies of his responsibility. He is your God, and he is your Father, and he is almighty. He is still as powerful today as he was when he created, when he provided manna for Israel, when he told a leprous to dip in the Jordan, when he made the lame to walk, the blind to see, and the deaf to hear, when he fed thousands with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He remains as powerful today as he did when he raised Christ from the dead. And his strength pours out to you. His strength is not diminished. Amen? It's kind of like the widow who poured the oil and filled one pitcher and then another and then another and then another. And it just continued and continued. Why did she ever stop? That's what I want to know. Because she got tired. His strength pours out to you. And that means that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that God cannot handle in your life. Sickness. Finances. Loss of a loved one. Disappointment. Betrayal. Marital problems, habitual sins. There's nothing, goes beyond that. There's nothing in the history of all of mankind that God cannot handle. So in honoring the Father, remember he's almighty. In honoring the Father, remember that he's long-suffering. Go to Numbers chapter 14, please. Numbers 14. We're going to go to two places. We're going to Numbers 14, and we're going to go to Psalm 86, please. Numbers 14 and verse 18. The Bible says, "The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression." I love that. Of course, the rest is very important. "And by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children under the third and fourth generation." We'll talk about that contrast, yet how they are connected together here in just a minute. But the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. Without that, there's no salvation. Amen. So grateful. Psalm 86, verse 15. Psalm 86, verse 15. Read this one with me. This one's powerful. Ready, begin. "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." It's our God, full of compassion. Are you glad for God's compassion tonight? You know, he was long-suffering when Adam and Eve disobeyed him in the garden. Oh, there was, he by no means cleared the guilty, right? But he was still long-suffering. He could have just wiped him off the face of the earth. But he was long-suffering. He was long-suffering when Abraham and Sarah laughed at the promise of a son. Oh, he didn't clear the guilty, but he was long-suffering. That's what it means, long-suffering, dealing with. And he was long-suffering when Israel rejected him and chose other gods. He was long-suffering when one of his own denied his only begotten son with curses 3 times, came back to Peter and said, "Lovest thou me?" 3 times. What does that mean for you? It means that he's patient with you. Amen. It means that he loves you and his love can never end. Even when you might have failed to speak his name when you knew you should, even when you failed with your temper or your attitude or your words, when you hurt somebody, even when you did not initiate any kind of time alone with the Lord, he's loved you. even when you've reverted back to your old fleshly ways, or you've done what you said you'd never do again, or you didn't do what you said you would do. That's what it means for you. It means he's patient with you. Go to Isaiah 65, please. I know we're using our Bibles tonight. That's okay, we're at church. Isaiah 65. Verse 2. I want you to think about, really let this just kind of sink in. I want you to picture this. Like, literally, picture God actually acting out what these words say. He said, I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. God does not give up on us. He's spreading his hands out. He's wanting to welcome them back in. And he's doing the same for us when we, as children of the Lord, as God's children, saved individuals, when we're not walking with God, he's waiting with open arms as the father and the prodigal son. What a picture that is of a God who is patient and long-suffering. Oh, he's not okay with the sin. No. But he still loves you and he still wants to help you and restore you, bring you back. Wanting to help someone who doesn't want to be helped. I mean, how often have you desired to be a help to somebody who didn't want to be helped? How often have you desired to be a help to somebody who didn't deserve to be a help or to be helped? When do any of us deserve to be helped? We don't. God doesn't rely on our faithfulness. To him, he relies upon his own faithfulness. And by the way, so do we. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. How grateful are you that God's position towards you is based on his own ability to accomplish that which we can never accomplish. So grateful. I'm grateful that I didn't have to work to be saved. And I'm grateful that I don't have to work to keep my salvation. It's on his faithfulness. It's on his faithfulness. So, as you honor God, remember your Father is almighty, he's long-suffering, and he's righteous and just. This is the part I was referring to a few minutes ago. Abraham proclaimed in Genesis 18:25, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? God is a judge. God is righteous. God is just. We talked about that as we went through the attributes of God several months ago. Does this mean that my Father is never merciful? Is God merciful? Amen. He's merciful. It means that he is merciful and just in a righteous, consistent way, not in a subjective way, not in an arbitrary way, but in a righteous and a consistent in a just way. God's compassion is there, but God's compassion flows out of the fact that he is just. I want to make sure I word this correctly here, but it flows out of his goodness, and goodness without justice is not good. God spares us because he is good, but he could not be good if he were not just. If God said, let's just let everyone come to heaven, he'd violate his justness and cease to be good. God can be both just and merciful. Oh, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But see, the thing is, people have got to come to the place where they realize they're in need of a Savior and call upon Jesus Christ to be the first Lord and Savior. Yes, heaven's available to everyone who will call upon him to be their Savior. Psalm 89:14, justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. You see that? Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. 2, what seems to be opposites are not. some scripture that help us see both. Romans 6:23, you know it. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Justice and judgment, mercy and truth. Hand in hand. Helps us demonstrate the justice and mercy of your Father. Because sin has a price, and we are all sinners. Justice must be met because of the sin of mankind. We don't measure up to God's standard of righteousness. A price must be paid for our unrighteousness. The Bible says in Romans 5:6, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Again, we see both the justice and mercy of God. To put it in a nutshell, justice is this: sin must be paid for. Mercy, Christ paid for. Amen? So, realize as you honor God, he's almighty, he's long-suffering, your Father is righteous and just, and last, your Heavenly Father is loving. 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. And here's what John was getting at. That we should be called the sons of God. Wow. Hey, John is saying, wow. How is it that you, who deserves to spend an eternity in hell, and even after you were saved, you sinned. Even after you were saved, oh, how many times have you sinned? But God's, Christ's sacrifice on Calvary's cross, and the blood that was shed, was enough for past, present, and future sins. It doesn't excuse our sins. But man, it would just continue to do so. Why? How many of us would give to somebody that we knew they were going to blow the money? I mean, give $100 to this person so they can go spend it on drugs, right? Homeless, need help, anything helps. We'll work for food, whatever. You don't want to give them money because they're going to go blow it on alcohol or something like that. But God gave you his son, Jesus Christ, on Calvary's cross. He gave of himself, died for you, shed his blood, broke his body for your sins and for my sins, knowing ahead of time that you would sin on that Tuesday and on that Saturday, or that you would forsake him, or that you would turn your back on him. You may not do it openly, but just in a brash way. Maybe you did. But knowing that you wouldn't live for him, knowing you'd fail time and time again, yet he still died on Calvary's cross for your sins. Now that's love. That's love. But some might say this: where is God's love when I go through the storms of life? Last place I'm going to ask you to turn to is in Isaiah, please, Isaiah 43. Verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they will not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Powerful words. Now, I know he was talking to Israel, but that applies to us. And he's basically saying this. I didn't say you weren't going to go through the storm. I never said you weren't going to go through difficult times. But I will be with thee. I will be with you. In fact, in such a way that as you're going through the rivers, I'll be with you. They won't overflow you. When you walk through the fire, they won't burn you. The flames will not kindle upon you. Because I've called you by thy name. You're mine, he said. You're mine. Somebody said this. In one sense, you could say that God loves you too much to keep you from the storm. And because he loves you, he cannot leave you in the storm. See, because sometimes it's the storm. If it wasn't for the storm, I wouldn't go to the Lord in prayer. It's like the psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. And if it wasn't for the situation that I'm in, maybe I wouldn't get on my knees before God. And it was because of God's love that he led his people out of the wilderness and into the promised land. If he didn't love them, he wouldn't have led them into the conflict they were about to face. But he knew that he would lead them through the conflict. The man continued to say, not just into it. Think about it. That means this for you. It means if God didn't love you, he wouldn't have led you into what he led you into. And because he loves you, he's not going to leave you there. But he'll lead you through it, not just into it. You may have heard the illustration about the naval officer and his wife. They were at sea during a storm and on their own personal boat. And he saw a frantic look in her eyes. But he tried to subdue her fears, but failed. And she got mad at him because he wasn't afraid. She grabbed his arm and said, how can you be so unfearful? I mean, she yelled at him. And just imagine her yelling. How can you not be afraid during this? And so he grabbed his sword and raised it at her. And he said, aren't you afraid of this? She goes, no. And he said, why not? She said, because I know who's holding the sword. And he said, I'm not afraid of the storms because I know who's in control. I think that's a great lesson for us. One of the most well-known, most loved verses of all times helps us understand how much God loves you. And you know the verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. This is how much God loves you. There's no greater love than this. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. There's no love beyond that. That's greater than that. When you're born, you didn't choose your father, but after you were born, you chose a second father if you're saved. If you're born with a wicked, worldly father called Satan, right? John 8:44, you're of your father, the devil. The lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. But, thankfully, I was placed by God's goodness in my physical family, and I have chosen, by God's grace, my spiritual family. And here's what God has to say to us. Listen, 2 Corinthians 6:18. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And our prayer ought to be that we realize how good our God is, how good our Heavenly Father is. Psalm 106:48, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, amen. Praise ye the Lord. You have a heavenly Father who loves you. You have a heavenly Father who is righteous and just. You have a heavenly Father who is long-suffering. And you have a heavenly Father who is almighty. We ought to be like David and say, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Amen.